In this week's Nutrition and Life episode, I speak with fitness and nutrition celebrity trainer Hayley Babcock from Hayley Happens Fitness. Hayley and I speak about how to grow muscle as a woman in her 40s and beyond, tips for combining cardio and strength training, what changes in perimenopause and menopause, and more. I'm excited for you to listen to my conversation with Hayley, and please, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, help us spread the message, take a screenshot, and share the episode on your social media or leave us a rating or review. Thank you so much. Now on to my conversation with Hayley Babcock. Hello and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Hayley Babcock. She is a trainer specializing in fitness for women over 40 years of age. She has been collaborating with Stacey Sims and other trainers like Tony Buttigieg, who was here on this podcast just a few weeks ago. Hayley, I am super excited to speak with you today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
It's my absolute pleasure. And yeah, I would like to just start off with a little bit of a background, perhaps, of how you got into all of this. One of the first things that caught my eye when I looked at your content, your social media, was that it says you started fitness, your fitness journey, only when you were 41 years of age. So a few years ago only. And I think that's super motivating for anyone listening, but maybe you can just tell us about your journey.
Yes, of course. So I was actually always, I was always active. I was cheerleader, gymnast in high school. I only started resistance training when I turned 41. So I spent the majority of my 30s, well, probably all of my 30s, if I look back, in the Ironman world. So I did long distance triathlon. I was super serious for an amateur. You know, had a really great professional pro coach that was one of the top pros herself. And I did that and I loved it. And I loved the camaraderie and all of that. And I was teaching Pilates as well. So I've been a Pilates instructor for 15 years. And that's kind of what I did up until 2018. So in 2018, I did my last 70.3 in the spring. And then I started just having like knee pain. Anyhow, long story short, that kind of led me down this track of 9 months of not getting diagnosed correctly. And then ended up having surgery January of 2019. And the surgery required me to be non-weight bearing for 6 weeks. And I'm not much of a TV person. Like I always joke that I don't even know how to turn on my TV. I'll watch like Netflix if there's like a series that somebody recommends, but I really love education, and I started to see this hole in the clients I was training. So I was teaching them Pilates, which is great. I have nothing. I mean, you can't say anything bad about Pilates. It's amazing. But, you know, these women weren't getting any stronger. So, you know, there's always some adaptations at the first with anything new that you do, but I started just seeing like, well, none of them could do a proper push-up all the way to the floor. And we didn't really have a lot of weights to push overhead. So there were these holes that I started just weaving in with my one-on-one clients. And I would just have them kind of start adding in some resistance training as I was getting more familiar with it. Now, obviously, I've always kind of been familiar with it, but I never had it in my programs because I just didn't have time. I would maybe do some body weight stuff, but it was the first to go in my week if I had to, you know, have all these swim bike runs. So I went down a rabbit hole, and I decided right before I was going to have surgery that I was going to get like certified as a personal trainer. And so I did that all in 6 weeks. I mean, I literally watched one movie. And I just read books and I did all of the nutrition and all of the, you know, continuing education to get that first certification. And that kind of just led me into strength training just head on. Pandemic rolls around the next year, and we were out in New Jersey. So we moved back home to our home in Colorado. And I honestly started my Instagram. I was like the TRX girl. So if you scroll down, like way down to 2020, it was all TRX, and that's all people had access to. But I started to see this as I kept taking continuing education, and I found Tony in 2020 and I took all of his courses. I started to see that the women over 40 had the biggest changes and the biggest, you know, in body composition. And they were the ones that were kind of looking at the second half of their life, and they had the money to spend, but they were super confused on what to do. So it's a very saturated market as far as marketing and, you know, products and campaigns and diets to this specific audience. And it bothered me because I was like, well, the answers are right here. I would take these courses and I'm like, these are the answers, but you can only train so many one-on-one people. And so I never thought that I would, you know, have an app and kind of go down that route, but it's been really cool to just kind of see where this has ebbed and flowed. You know, there's been highs, there's been lows, but it's been really cool. And then I met Stacy. I just had her on a couple of Instagram lives and we just vibed. It was a really easy connection. And so last fall I was like, I'm just going to ask her to do a program, because everyone would be like, well, what is, like, what program does, you know, mirrors what Dr. Sims recommends? And I was like, well, why don't I ask her and we just do it? So that's kind of how that collaboration began at the start of this year. So I met her in New Zealand. I flew down there to meet her in person. And that's kind of, that was really long-winded, but that's kind of how I got my start in strength training. And I think people, you know, assume that I've been doing it. Now, I was fit, but I did not have, I was eating terrible because I could get away with it. And I was doing, you know, 14 hours a week of exercise. And so I was burning all of these calories. I was doing it all wrong, which led to injury. And, you know, I didn't have that much muscle mass considering how much I was doing, because I didn't have strength training in there.
Yeah, I was going to say that one of the main things that stands out when looking at your program, your physique is incredible now, but you also have a comparison pictures from, I mean, 5-6 years ago or whenever before you started resistance training, you also looked somewhat fit, as you were saying, definitely not quote unquote toned or lean or shaped or whatever. Most of our listeners also are probably wanting to look like. The majority of the people listening will fall into that bracket of like maybe starting perimenopause or also going through menopause, maybe even being postmenopause. And I'm so excited that more and more research is coming out for women in that age bracket as well, or women full stop, but women in that age bracket. And Stacy Sims is doing such a wonderful job disseminating that information alongside other amazing people like yourself, or also people that are more going down the nutrition route, like Dr. Gabriel Lyon or so, and really emphasizing the importance of protein. And you just shared with us that you didn't eat very well then. You now have a very different approach. And another thing that's easy to find on your Instagram is that you're really promoting eating more protein. So maybe you can tell us how much we should actually be eating and why that is so important, especially as we age.
So, I mean, it's definitely a high amount, and it's really hard for women to get their heads around when they haven't ever counted up protein. I mean, I was training probably 2 hours a day, and I bet I had 25, 30 grams of protein for the whole day. I mean, seriously, like it was majority all carbs. I mean, again, doing it all wrong. So I speak in pounds, and it depends on the goals of the client. Most women come to me and very few don't want to lose some body fat. So that always has to be taken into account. And so if we're looking at someone in a deficit, I aim for around 1 gram per pound of ideal body weight. And that's kind of how the industry leaders run. That's the, you know, between a pound of body weight, of actual body weight or ideal body weight. Ideal body weight is better for someone that has a lot of weight to lose, because otherwise the protein number is just so large. Like nobody's eating 80 grams, you know, at one sitting or every single sitting. So I do that. And then I don't have it quite as high for someone that's just training for life and they're not in a deficit and they're not counting calories, which is where I like people to sit. If they're the majority of women out there overexercise and undereat, and then they wonder why their body, they're not getting the body composition changes. And, you know, they're, that's the big misinformation, I would say, is that piece right there. So once we turn that around and add in more of the protein and kind of make sure that we have enough fats for, you know, our hormones, and then enough carbohydrate to fuel for the demands of the training session, whatever that is. So that's kind of how I plan it out how I do plan it out for all of my clients.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point, mentioning that we need to look at overall calories first and foremost. If we're wanting to induce weight loss, obviously we need to be in a calorie deficit. If we want to perform well, maintain our weight, et cetera, respectively having maintenance calories or even in a small surplus if we're wanting to build, and then going, you know, protein being the second most important thing here. But totally, I do see that a lot also, just constant under eating, over exercising, or just yo-yo dieting, which is no better either. You did mention aspects of your current training or even the training program that you're running with your clients, and that is leaning on Dr. Stacey Sims' program, or maybe even collaborating with hers. And so I'm curious about the cardio that you do still include, because you mentioned you've moved away from Ironman training. So what kind of modalities do you still include? And also, what do you recommend for your clients or women in general?
Yes. So I still do, well, it depends on my training year. So I try to look at my whole year, and then I'll plan out anything that I have that differs from, you know, my basic training, which is strength training 3 to 4 days a week, and then cardio fills in, and what type of cardio we can talk about. But I in the summer, I do a lot of biking. So I was just in Maui riding up Haleakala with Stacy. And so I always go to Europe, and I'll do like a week of cycling there every summer. So I have a lot of cycling, so I do more cardio in a short window of time. So over the summer, because it's my passion, it's what I love to do. Outside of that, I strength train usually 4 days a week. And then I add in, depending on the time of year too, I'll do both steady state, which is zone two, and then, you know, the HIIT, and then the subtype sit, which is pretty much in the same category as far as interval training. Just the timing is different. So that's really what I, for someone just coming off, like coming to me brand new, and they don't have a particular, like maybe they do a half marathon every once in a while, or they don't have a particular sport that they really focus on, I will try to get them training in the gym 3 days a week, minimum of two. And it has to be realistic. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what the ideal recommendation is. And then if they are unfit and they haven't, you know, been doing a lot of cardio, and they're really like coming from the couch and starting back after X amount of months of maybe not doing anything, then I would start them on zone two to build the work capacity. And then I would add in the HIIT once they're fit enough to handle the load. So that's kind of how I program, really, for everyone outside of maybe an endurance athlete or someone that has a specific sport.
I love that you also mentioned you periodize your own training, or your training in general for people, because what we're definitely not saying is that you should ditch your cardio completely. And many people listening will love their going for a jog, even just for mental benefits or the emotional benefits and being outside. There is so much greatness to that also, but just making sure that we are periodizing and not just making that the majority of our training. I would love to get a bit more into the HIIT, and also you mentioned sit, because I do think both of those, well, sit might not even be known, but HIIT is very misunderstood. And often we think, oh, I'm going to my Orange Theory, or I'm going to my F45 and I'm doing HIIT training there. And I don't think that you would agree that that is actual HIIT training, or at least not by Stacey Sims' definition.
No, I mean, in our course that we run together, Power Happens, she has a sheet, you know, a resource sheet, because it's really confusing for women, especially women that have never done HIIT. Now, I've been doing HIIT, you know, on the bike with coaches for, you know, 2 decades now. So I know what that feels like, but if you're new to it, it's really hard to find that polarizing training. And that's what we're going for, to get the stimulus. And what I find is most women don't go hard enough on the hard sections, and they don't go easy enough on the easy sections or full rest. So then they get stuck in this middle area that's just kind of not really getting the result or the benefit of the training adaptation that they could. So the HIIT is usually over 30 seconds and above. And it can have varying rest times depending on what you're doing. So 20 seconds on, 40 seconds off, 40 seconds on, 20 seconds off, 60 on, 60 off. I mean, all sorts of different combinations depending on, you know, what the variation and what the client likes. So those intervals can go up to around 4 minutes is usually kind of in that HIIT. And then the sit is just sprint interval training. So that is usually under 30 seconds, and it has really long recovery. So it's all out effort. And I've had multiple clients that, you know, when they start at first, they're like, oh, it was too easy for me. Like I need to make it harder. And I was, you know, the rest time, like I didn't even need the rest time. And I was like, then you're not doing it right. And that takes, I mean, it's a skill in and of itself to really push, because it's not fun when you get in that, you know, red zone, which is where we need to be. But it's much easier to dip into that and then to dip out of it multiple times. And mentally, it's a lot easier for people as well. We just need to accumulate time in that top section. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, split up into chunks. We just need an overall amount of time in that red zone. So that's kind of that's where group classes, and I always say, if it's getting you to work out, then, and it makes you consistent and you have camaraderie and you love it, then that's what you need to do. But when you come asking for body composition changes, or you're not getting the adaptations that you want, then we have to look at, that doesn't mean you have to give anything up. It just means you have to prioritize other things as well into that week. And then for women over 40, what can we recover from? Because everyone just wants to add more to it. Okay, I'll do the strength training, but then I'm still going to go to these classes and I'm just going to, no, no, no. Like, if you want the adaptations, you have to let the body recover to build the adaptations.
That is such a great reminder. And I just want to make sure that I'm hearing you correctly, or highlighting correctly what sit it really is, and HIIT, and just in general, what I heard was that we want to get out of that just moderate intensity, sort of dabbling along type of thing, and either resting or going high intensity or even sprint intensity. And I do think that naturally speaking, as women, we're more inclined to just hover in that moderate intensity range. And so getting out of that is really what gives us the stimulus. And I think you're mentioning such a good point that it really is difficult to find out what area we should really be in. And the same applies to strength training. When you're saying to someone, oh, you should be at an 8 or 9 RPE or RIR or whatever you're giving them, it's like, okay, how hard is that? That felt hard, but is it like really hard? Or so it does take some time. And I have all compassion for people that are just starting out or training on their own, maybe never have worked with a personal trainer one-on-one. So I think the guidelines that you gave there in regards to sit, really, you have to see that red line, and you do need to fully rest between the sets, essentially. That was a very important highlight for me. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, correct.
Awesome. Okay, great. Another thing I do want to talk about, or wanted to ask you about, is I saw in one of your posts that you said how I maintain about 16-17% body fat all year round. And I think that's
amazing. Again, you look incredible. And I would love to hear your main strategies, or how, if someone came to you and said, I want that too, what allows me to be there and be healthy at the same time? Because we obviously have to highlight that as well.
Yes, of course. So I do not count calories. I don't count macros, but I can do that because I have done it in the past. Mm-hmm. So when someone comes to me, I use it as an education tool. And so I have them count calories and just to see what makes up their food. Because honestly, like, nobody knows. Everyone has a kind of an idea, but when they start tracking, they're like, well, I was eating 4,000 calories. Well, no wonder I wasn't losing weight. Or they'll start tracking, and then when they come to me and we have a discussion about it, it's like, oh, I made homemade pizza over the weekend. I'm like, okay, so, you know, did you add olive oil to the crust before you put on? Well, yes. Did you account for that? Oh, I didn't even think about it. Because when you're not used to doing it, it's really hard to kind of nail it. And that's a skill too. And so I try to give women grace when they're coming here and they're like, well, now I have to diet. Now I don't even know what a macro is. And I have to have, you know, all of this protein multiple times a day. And then I don't know what hit and sit. And then I have to, you know, go to the gym, which makes me feel uncomfortable. So there's all these barriers. And my job is to break down the barriers to make someone comfortable going to the gym. So that's why Tony and myself have created that Learn to Lift course, where it literally walks you through every video talking about what the exercise is, what it's doing, you know, what it looks like when it's not done correctly, and then what it looks like when it's done correctly. So it guides you through this education over 12 weeks to really get more comfortable, so that when you go into a gym, you're moving a barbell by the end. But that you at least have a plan, number one. Number two, I would say, you know, I have someone just start tracking protein first. Like, don't take it all in. Track one thing that you can be consistent with, and protein is the most important. So start just paying attention. And if you don't want to track calories and it's, you know, bad, there's a lot of women with, you know, that have recovered from eating disorders and they don't want to go down that path. And I don't want them to go down that path. So to keep them in a healthy space, then maybe we just look at, take pictures of our meals and then compare. Well, this is my picture from yesterday. See if the serving size is about, like, oh, you only have to really weigh it or track it once, one meal, and then kind of look at it and gauge. So that's for someone that, you know, there's different tools that we use for different clients, but the goal for anyone is build lean mass. Mm-hmm. If that's the one thing that women get out of it, build lean mass. And you cannot do that well. You can do it a little bit, especially if you're a newbie, but you cannot do it well if you're always sitting in a deficit. So that's the mind game that has to, where the behavior and the habit change have to come in. So it's a whole body approach of everything, educating, you know, behavior and habit change, giving ourselves grace, also knowing, you know, what, being able to put the effort into the workout. So there's a lot that goes into it that I think once they get, you know, once somebody nails a few of those items, then it's easier to just add something else in. So it's not all at once. It makes it a little bit more palpable that way.
Yeah, you're right. I think, I mean, for us who, like, we enjoy learning about this, we enjoy doing this stuff, it's easily said, but I can absolutely understand how overwhelming it all is, or must seem, when you first get into this and you're like, this is not my passion. I'm just doing this because I know I should, or I want to be healthy, or I want to look better, etc. So I love that you're coming at it, number one, from an educational perspective, number two, step by step, and just building on things. And as you mentioned earlier, if the person cannot stick with it, then what's the point of the best program, diet, macro, whatever? We need to really meet the clients where they're at. But also what I hear in terms of your own physique, again, is that it is consistency with the basics without being overly pedantic about your, for example, you're not tracking right now, but you have tracked before. So you kind of know what your portion should look like. You're not overly exercising or dieting down all year around and you're fueling your body. So I really like that message. And especially, again, like also for women going through perimenopause or menopause. And that's actually another question or a few questions I have for you is specifically for that population as well. What sort of issues do you see, number one, that they come to you with? And also, how is there anything specific during that time of our life that we should really be taking into consideration, whether that pertains to training or nutrition?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's not a huge change. What becomes the most important is that women are getting a good strength training program. And that's seems super simple because there's 9 million online, but having the ability to overload from one program to the next, and really strategically planning what you want in a training year makes it it's mandatory to get the results that you're looking for. So the perimenopause, we start to see, you know, sleep changes for a lot of women that makes it hard. Outside of the menopausal hot flashes and, you know, everything that most women know are coming or could be coming. I mean, we're all going to go through menopause, what symptoms we have, who knows, the degree of it, but the big rock is moving the subcutaneous fat. So the fat around our hips and our thighs, and it kind of redistributes to around the organs. So it's more visceral fat, which is unhealthy for us. So that's the biggest change that I will have, the biggest complaint that I will have women come in complaining about and just saying, it feels like it happened overnight. Like now I have this belly. I've never had a belly before. That's where the polarizing training comes in, along with good nutrition. So there is no magic pill. And I think everyone knows that, but they still want it because, you know, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard. But if we get the habit changed and we start to just become, this is who we are. So I always take my client and say her name's, I don't know, Candace. And I'll say, okay, so Candace 2.0, these are your behaviors. And this is where we go. Like Candace 2.0, that this is where she lives now. And it's not like good or bad. It's just, these are the behaviors that we now have adopted. And hopefully they stick around so that we aren't yo-yo dieting. We have all of the information. It's an exciting time to be alive because we have more information than we've ever had. But it's confusing to women because they're sold quick fixes all the time. And when you break it down, it's just like, you got to do the work. There's no way around it. You have to do the work and you have to be educated with what's going in your mouth. And it's not easy. It's doable, but I always say you're training for life, but like you're playing the long game. We're in this for a lifetime. So even when I run courses, I have a, you know, nutrition course, I have a shred course, I have a fat loss course. I'm not so much concerned about what you get over that X amount of weeks that you're in a course with me. What I care about is where are you in 4 months? Where are you in 8 months? Where are you in 12 months? Because anybody can do something for a short amount of time, but it's that longevity aspect that we're looking into. So it's literally slow and steady.
Great.
Just staying the course.
Great message. And I love the idea of, you know, Lisa 2.0 or Haley 2.0 or whatever. That really dips into that we need to change our identity if we're wanting to become someone new or become a new, get a new body or feel different as well. So really well put there with the 2.0 and just thinking, what would Lisa 2.0 choose, or what would she, how would she train? thank you for that inspiration. And I guess to round it off a little bit is in terms of your training at the moment or your resistance training also, what are some of your personally favorite exercises, and also what exercises do you think women should be doing more of, or are maybe doing too much of?
Yeah. So I always say, you know, no, not everyone has to get under a barbell. And I do think that there is a time and a place for it, if it works for you, but if you have access to a gym, then I encourage women that have the funds and the time to get to a gym, because those are other hurdles that may not be applicable. But if you can go to a gym, you just have access to all of the equipment, and overall, we look at women get better results if they're in a gym setting with a lot of equipment. With that being said, can you get results from home? A lot of women are not going to go to the gym for XYZ reason. And then we just have to be a little bit more creative about what they have access to and finding ways to overload that. So I would say, you know, areas of weakness are most of the time, I would say 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, that the hamstrings are weaker than the quads. And some of that weakness, like, is okay, a little bit of not, you know, it's never going to be 100%, but it's a common weakness for women. So I always try to give them, especially if they're runners and cyclists, I try to give them a little bit more hamstring work. Other than that, a lot of stabilizing and balance, which we need. So we start to lose that as we age as well. So that's an important piece to kind of build up that area there. And then shoulders, I would say rotator cuff and common injuries with tendinopathies in the shoulder or the arm. Those are always a big concern as well. And they take a long time to heal. So prioritizing and what I call like prehab, which is like the foundation course that I have, it's really prioritizing those weak links. And that's what Tony and I designed together, so that you can train injury-free, hopefully, all year round. So I don't know if there's a strength exercise that people are doing too much of. I think there are imbalances because, you know, I don't see it as much in the over 40 crowd, but in the younger crowd, it's all about the butt. So it's like tons of glute training and tons of shoulder. But, you know, I launched a glute program, one of my first programs years ago, and it has been like my worst seller out of all of the programs. And I thought it was going to be like a smash, like everyone wants this. But most women at this age are like, well, sure, I want, you know, maybe some more muscle definition. But I think most women just want all over strength. Mm-hmm. And they just want to, you know, they want to have nice arms and they want to feel good and they want to have, you know, be able to wear shorts and all of those things. So that was kind of a long-winded answer too, of saying prioritize your weak links, I guess would be the message.
I love it. And yeah, also the message that gym would be very beneficial for most people. I think even just from a mindset perspective, like you go there, you can leave your groceries, your whatever chores at home, you're forced to leave them at home. Whereas if you're exercising from home in the basement and the kids run in and you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to cut the short. But as you also said, something is better than nothing. So we're going to make do with whatever. I guess lastly here on that front, I think repetition ranges is often a misunderstood or just falsely executed as well. Maybe you can enlighten us on what's in your programs, like what kind of repetition ranges are we looking at and why? Lower, higher, more for strength, more rest times, et cetera. Walk us through some of your programs.
So I have a variety, and I really have a variety because there's lots of different goals. So women should be lifting really heavy. We've received that message. I think everyone is hearing that on social media, which is great. But most women aren't ready for those low rep ranges. And even if they say they've been lifting for a couple of years, what does that look like? Was that with 10-pound dumbbells, or was that with, you know, 180 pounds on your back? So if we rush into those low rep ranges that are super important for women, for our bones and for the neuromuscular differences that it makes compared to like the hypertrophy ranges, you have to earn the right to be there. And that is, I would say, the biggest mistake that women make is they're like, okay, well, I have to lift heavy and I have to do it now. No, you don't. I work in all rep ranges, and Tony actually does my programming. So I fluctuate between max strength, which is usually 5 reps and under. And then I do a lot of work in hypertrophy ranges to keep building muscle. And then sometimes even in the 20 plus range, if I'm looking for more, you know, endurance, muscle endurance work. So they all have a place. What is the main goal? And, you know, what I would advise is where heavy lifting has its place, it also, you know, it shouldn't be the only thing that you do year round, because it can be really hard on the joints. Your risk of injury is higher when we go into those lower rep ranges. So we have to do it smart and we have to be safe.
That's a really, really important point. And yeah, you're so right. Like most people nowadays, they're like, okay, I hear I should lift heavy, and then just want to jump right into it, or think that higher rep ranges are no good anymore, or training even just for learning how to activate certain muscles, training for hypertrophy or mind-muscle connection. I think that often really gets lost in there, and we then say, oh, you need to activate your glutes more, and people don't even know how to do that. And I'm saying that because I for a long time didn't know how to do that. So yeah, and I think with that, with the higher load also, we need to consider that often that means longer rest times. And so that might seem like you only have an hour to spare, and in the end you end up resting for 3 minutes between each set, and you don't necessarily get a sweat on. And while a sweat is not a good indicator for a good workout, I think sometimes people might think, I don't feel like I'm getting the most out of this time, versus higher rep ranges or maybe with supersets or something like that, you kind of feel like you're getting more volume in a shorter amount of time. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, 100%. And you know, the pushback that I get with circuits or supersets, which allow you to do a lot of volume in a shorter amount of time, comes down to, you know, gym access equipment at the gym. So it's kind of hard to take up more than one piece of equipment, especially at a busy gym. And that's when I tell women that, like, don't go in order. That the program is written for a reason, but we also have to live real life. And we're all not going to be in a personal gym by ourselves with every piece of equipment. So how can you make it work for you? And, you know, that's where the supersets come in. But if it's not, then I always will say, like, pair it with something. If it's, say, 2 pieces of equipment, maybe down the workout for the day towards the end, there's a dumbbell movement. So grab the dumbbells and go take them to the piece of machine that you're going to use, so that you're using your time wisely, because most women are rushed and they don't have 90 minutes to be in the gym. So how can we get the most bang for our buck and then get on our merry way to the rest of our days?
Absolutely. Yeah. I one very last question, because I thought that you had a herniated disc a while ago. Is that correct? I don't know. But are you able to do any lift now? Did that take a lot of time to rehab?
Yeah. So I actually had back surgery when I was 17. So I was a senior in high school, and I was a cheerleader and a gymnast. I had a very late growth spurt. So by the time I was a senior, I was only doing floor at that point. But once I had back surgery, I mean, gymnastics was done, cheerleading was done. I was now graduating from high school. And so again, I rehabbed and started running, and it was fine for about 10 years. And then I started just having reoccurring, like most of us have some kind of bulging disc if we were to go in and take an MRI. or a herniated disc sometimes even. But so I have had, I've been like, this has been a recurring pattern in my life up until I started strength training. So my back is, I have a degenerative disc at L4, L5 where it was operated on. So that bone on bone, you know, once you start getting that degeneration, it doesn't feel good. But overall, I mean, it really doesn't bother me at all. And I lift really heavy loads. So it, you can definitely work yourself out of back pain. It looks different for everyone. And maybe, you know, I have some clients that love deadlifting, but it just doesn't work for them at the age range they're in now. And it's just not worth the, you know, risk of potential injury if they've been injured with this movement before. It's just not worth it. So you can lift heavy in a variety of ways. You just, again, staying safe and being able to just know that there's multiple options, and we have to live life and we have to do whatever we're going to be able to do consistently. So that's really all that matters. And that's how I have women look at programs, you know, what's the overall goal for that block of time? And then what a training year would look like. Do you have certain vacations? Do you have a cycling, you know, do you have a running race you want to do it this month? And then plan around that. And then make sure that you're working in different rep ranges if you have the goal of, you know, keeping our bones nice and strong in those lower strength sessions, but you also want to grow muscle. It's a little bit easier. It can be done in all rep ranges, but it's best in the hypertrophy ranges.
Wonderful, wonderful summary here at the end. Thank you so much, Haley. It was a true pleasure picking your brain on all these things. And I'm obviously going to put all your handles in the show notes, especially to your Instagram, which I find just so helpful. So everybody go and follow Haley Happens Fitness. So yeah, thank you for your time. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Yes, you bet. Thanks, Lisa.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Haley Babcock. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. One more thing before you go. If you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more. Feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, life is too short to be in a body you don't feel good in.